Our scripture text for this morning is found in Proverbs chapter 8, beginning with verse 22. Proverbs 8, 22 and following. And I read in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped. Before the hills, I was brought forth. Before he had made the earth with its fields. Or the first of the dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master workman, and I was daily his delight. Rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the children of man. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this passage from Proverbs 8, and we ask that you would give us wisdom and understanding as we try to understand this tricky text that has had much debate over it through the centuries. And I pray that you would give us clarity in this, that we might understand the truth and both be convicted of our sins and comforted in your sweet gospel in Jesus. We pray. Amen. Now, as we begin here, I just want to step back for a moment and recap what's happened over the last couple weeks. 2 weeks ago, we looked at Genesis 1, and we were talking about the Word of God that created everything out of nothing, and that Word of God has the power to even create in us spiritually through the gospel. The God's Word is powerful, and so His Word here that He speaks to us is a powerful, creative Word from God Himself. Then we looked last week at the letter to Timothy, and talked about how all Scripture is God-breathed, and that He used men to write it down, but the words that they wrote down are actually God's words. Every one of them true, that we can't mess with it at all. Not one cross of a T or dot of an I can be adjusted or left out or altered in any way, but it is God's very Word, the Word that is living and active. And so we have this word then before us, and we come to this text in Proverbs 8 that has many themes that we've been talking about with the Word of God, the wisdom of God, and even creation. It gives a poetic account of creation in this text. But this text also has been extremely controversial and divisive through the centuries. There have been major schisms, and we would even say that where you stand on this text and the truth in this text will divide whether you are a Christian or not. And the church has seen that through the ages. And so, as we look at this, and in light of the fact that this is the very Word of God and that we must understand it properly and not mess with it, we need to almost do like a how to study your Bible sermon here as we go through this. And so I'm going to be bringing up some things about this text and how we need to study this in order to get the truth, to get the accurate information out of this wonderful text of Scripture and not some error that will lead us astray. Now, to give you a little bit of context, if you would look with me at Proverbs 8, You'll notice, well, I mean, first of all, the whole book of Proverbs is about wisdom. But there's some really neat things going on in chapter 8 that are kind of unique. And in in chapter 8, wisdom is personified. And at the beginning, it calls wisdom a her or a she. And she is calling out. And we'll get into that a little bit later. If you have questions about why it would use her or she, we can talk about that another time. That's really not my main purpose for today. I think we got bigger fish to fry today. But the interesting thing is here is that wisdom is speaking as a person, calling out with this gospel call to people. And then it continues on the second section, beginning with verse 12, I, wisdom, and goes on to describe who wisdom is and the benefits of this person, wisdom. And so then we would come to our text, beginning with verse 22. But as we think about that wisdom personified, I think we need to ask, who is wisdom? And interesting enough, that ever since the very beginning of the church, the best records that we have, the earliest points in church history, I mean, right after Jesus' death, the church was already believing that this chapter was talking about Jesus. That wisdom, the person of wisdom, was Jesus. And I think that we need to make a little bit of an argument for that, and we also need to point out that some have contested this or have come up with some errors about Jesus from this text. And so as we then look at our text beginning in verse 22, we're going to look at the two main portions of this. First of all, the preexistence of wisdom, and secondly, wisdom the master builder. And this first one is going to be the lion's share of our time here, because much of the controversy is right up at the front. And we have to ask then first, with this first point, pre-existence of wisdom, was wisdom created? Now, I don't know what Bible translations you have in front of you, but we have a variety, I believe, among us. And I just want to say, I'm about to critique some of the translations, but I want to be very careful with this, because I believe that the major translations that we have in America are very faithful and trustworthy. And I am very hesitant to ever put seeds of doubt in your mind about the Bible that you're holding in your hand, because I believe that it is very faithful and accurate. And this is a point where I do need to point out something that has gone astray in a couple of our Bible translations. It's very, very important. But it also will not shipwreck your faith if you have this one of these translations in your hand, and I will show you why later. Okay? So please bear with me, okay? I don't want to rattle you too much about this, but in the Revised Standard Version and the New Revised Standard, if we're asking, was wisdom created? The first portion of this in 22, verse 22, says, the Lord created me at the beginning of his work. The Lord created me. So if you're asking the New Revised or Revised Standard Bible, they're saying, yes, wisdom was created. Okay? And if you look at the New International Version, this is the Bible that I grew up with as a kid and memorized hundreds of verses in, okay? And I think is, again, another good translation. But it says this, the Lord brought me forth as the first of his works. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works. Okay, so in another way, kind of referring to wisdom as a created thing. But the very first created thing, it's saying, but as a created thing, as a part of God's work. And it's not quite as clear or explicit in that one as it was in the previous. But you know what? This goes way, way back. Before the New Testament was actually written, there was a Greek translation of the Old Testament called the Septuagint. So this was around when the early church was was established. This was around when Jesus was walking the earth. And this is the English translation of that. It says, the Lord made me at the beginning. Okay, so there's some precedent for this happening in some of our English translations. This goes way back. And so we've been dealing with this all along. Now, I'm speaking of this as if it's wrong because I believe that it is wrong. And here's the case for it. First of all, there are a number of our translations that deal with this differently. The ESV and NASB translations say, the Lord possessed me at the beginning. And then the next verse say, set up and established. And so it doesn't say created or made. He possessed him. He acquired him. He had him at the beginning. Okay, there's a difference here, right? Because what we're asking here is, was wisdom the person that we are saying this is Jesus? Was Jesus a created being, or was he pre-existent? Was he around before creation? And everything hangs on this. Let me tell you, this is really important, whether Jesus is a created being or not. But why the differences then? If we go back all the way to this Greek translation of the Old Testament that was around when Jesus was on earth, even before that, we see that the translators of this Greek Bible came across this passage, and they were very good translators. They were very faithful. They knew the Hebrew language very well, much better than I do. And they were very familiar with the word to create. And that is not the word that they found here in Proverbs 8. But they were very uncomfortable with what that said because they were thinking that wisdom must be a part of the created order. And so we're going to change this word to create so that it makes more sense. That, of course, you had to create it before it could be there. So it must be the first of the created things. So God started there and made wisdom the person, and then he made everything else. And so do you see what they're doing here? They're using their human reason to critique God's holy word that is without error, and they are saying, I think I understand this better than the writer. I understand something here that I want to convey, and they intentionally altered that word. Now, did they think they were doing a service to everyone? Yes. But it was foolish, I believe. And again, I don't mean to discredit all these things because even that Greek translation is an incredible resource and something very valuable to us and in other ways a very faithful one. But we can't ever mess with Scripture. We can't alter even one word of it. If we come across something that we see in the Bible, we can't just say, well, I know it says this, but I think it would be better if it said this. We can't just go with our preference. The train would go off the tracks at that point, and it would be a train wreck. We can't mess with what God has said. And let me tell you, God knows better. He had a reason for this. And when they were making the Septuagint, this Greek translation, Jesus had never walked the earth. They weren't making the connection with Jesus. They didn't know what they were messing with. But they did something that caused a lot of trouble. In fact, there was a man named Arius in 320 AD. And he was from Alexandria, Egypt. And he began to teach some different heresies. He said that the Word from John 1 and the Father were not the same substance, and that the Son was a created being, and the Son, though he existed before earthly time, and that the Son actually still created everything, he still held to that, but he came into existence sometime before that creation. So he was the first of the created things. And so he is calling Jesus a creature. And the church in the 300s responded to this. They all knew that this was wrong, even though they were all holding this same translation and struggling over these verses here. They knew that this was wrong because of what was taught elsewhere in Scripture, that this couldn't possibly be true. And they condemned Arius. They had a council, and they wrote the Nicene Creed in response to this that we confessed earlier today. And today, and throughout the years, there have still been other people holding to this, most famously the Jehovah's Witnesses, who are claiming that Jesus is a God, but he is a created thing, the first of the created things, and they are holding to that same Arian heresy. But when we make Jesus a creature, we are undermining God's identity, really, because Scripture says that he is God, and we are undermining our salvation. Because what made the cross effective, the payment of sins through Jesus effective for all of humanity, the only way that could be effective for all of us, if this was God himself doing it, not a created thing. And so we can't mess with God's word, especially on such a critical issue as this. But I mentioned before that we don't need to be totally rattled, or if you're holding one of these translations that I mentioned, you don't need to be shaken totally from your faith or throw that Bible in the trash. You know, I mentioned that the early church fathers, that we call them that, the early church leaders that were writers and ministry leaders in the early days of the church, they were holding this Greek translation. That's what they were primarily using, and it said created. God created me at the beginning. And they were troubled by it. They wrote a lot about this, and clearly they were struggling with that word right there because it didn't quite make sense with what they were reading in the rest of Scripture. But notice that they cared what it said in the rest of Scripture, because Scripture interprets Scripture. They believed that this was the Word of God and that one verse could not contradict another verse somewhere else in Scripture or another verse somewhere else in Scripture. They believed that it was all true. So when they were struggling over this idea of wisdom that they believed was Jesus being a created being, they said, well, it couldn't mean that literally. Or maybe it was referring to just his physical creation when he was born as a physical man. And so they were trying to figure out a way that this could possibly work. And they still held on to the belief that Jesus was not a created being in the true sense of that word, and that he was truly God, eternally existing. And they formed that Nicene Creed to say so. He was begotten, not made. He was not a created being. And so they let the rest of Scripture speak strongly when this text was foggy to them. And we need to do that too. When we look at God's Word, when we come across something difficult or that we don't understand or that we're having trouble with, first of all, it's not wrong. We just don't get it. And secondly, we need to look at other passages of Scripture that are more clear or that speak more directly to the issue. And let me tell you, there are Scriptures that speak abundantly about this. I'm going to share some of them today. And most famously, you could look at John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. It says, "In the beginning was the Word." We remember that from Genesis 1. Later in John 1, it says, "The Word became flesh," and it connects it with Jesus. So let's think of this as Jesus again, the Word. "In the beginning was the Word, Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." It can't say it any more clearly. It assumed any arguments against it and kept coming around to it and saying it every way. Everything was created by Jesus. Not anything was not created by Jesus, including Jesus himself. He was with God in the beginning. He was God, not different than God. So we can say that the Word was pre-existent. The Word was not created. And then notice here, this is kind of a new section here under this same first point. It says, at the beginning. And this is another place where we could get kind of hung up. But notice that it doesn't say that wisdom had a beginning. It says that wisdom was there at the beginning. And wisdom was already possessed. The word that said possessed or created there, more accurately should be possessed or acquired, but it's past tense. And that means it already happened. So when creation started, the word already was possessed. Wisdom was already possessed. It was there before the start of all the creating. Notice that. Very important. And Christ Jesus, we see elsewhere, already existed in the beginning. We already heard he was in the beginning with God. But Christ Jesus also calls himself the beginning, or the one who made the beginning. And in John 1:3, we heard, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus was the agent, you could say, special agent Jesus, all right? He was the agent through whom God created all things. Revelation 3:14, this is where Jesus identifies himself as the beginning. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea, write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. We see in the context that that's talking about Jesus. Called the beginning of God's creation, or the one who began it. Revelation 22:13, this famous verse that most of you know, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He's the agent who's bringing about the beginning and bringing about the end. And he exists before and after the beginning and the end. So let's not be confused by this language, thinking that somehow he's the first of the created things. Listen to this very clear passage from the New Testament. And this is part of what the early church fathers were holding on to, and that you can hold on to too, knowing that Jesus was not a created thing. It says in Colossians 1:15-20, he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him... all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Jesus existed before all of creation. All things were made through him, and the full presence of God, or the fullness of God, dwelled in him. He was God. He is God. And getting back to Proverbs chapter 8, if you had any question about all this created business and wondering if it really was, he was the first of the beginning or if he was before, it goes on in the next three verses after 22 saying, before creation was wisdom. I think the last troubling thing in this opening section is the idea of wisdom being born or begotten then. And we've been talking about all this stuff in Bible study on Thursdays as we went through the creeds. But one of the things that was brought up is, if Jesus was not created, how can it say that he was begotten or born? Because we think of that as when we were created, right? And so we are created beings, and so when we're created, we're born. And this gets us maybe in trouble in our mind about Jesus and whether he was a created being. But the writer of a commentary, Andrew Steinman, says, this is the analogy of birth, but it's a timeless birth from eternity, before time and before creation. And so he's saying that this happened, again, before creation. So there's a mystery here. I got to admit, this is one of the hardest things for me to understand in Scripture. Even just this term begotten or born in regard to Jesus. And talking about not just his physical body, but his whole person being begotten of the Father. And as we think about this, we have the rest of Scripture to look at. And we don't know exactly what it means that he was begotten or born, but we know that he wasn't created from the rest of Scripture, so we can eliminate that and know that this happened before creation outside of it. But as I was contemplating this, I came up with a thought on this, and I don't know if it's helpful. I don't even know how accurate it is. I've never heard anybody else say this. But if it's helpful to you, I'll share this then, that I thought of the idea of birth then with this, that this is not talking about conception, but the birth itself. And when we're narrowing it down to birth, we recognize that the baby is alive and is a person before the birth actually happens, right? And so in this way, Jesus existed and had fellowship with, was a real person before he was born or begotten. I don't know if that's the best way to understand this, but the baby proceeds from the mother at that point, but was already a person. And so maybe that gives us some clue to what's going on with this, but we can trust from the whole counsel of God's word that Jesus was not created. He was the creator. Secondly, in our text, we see wisdom is called the master builder. And there's this poetic summary of Genesis 1 then, going through all of creation. And at the end of it, it says that Jesus was the master builder. He was the one bringing this all into existence. Everything was created through him. And wisdom was the delight of God the Father, and humanity was the delight of wisdom. And I want to just end on this thought. Wisdom is the delight of the Father. You know, in the New Testament, we see this is true with Jesus. When Jesus was being baptized, God the Father parted the clouds and spoke in his booming voice from heaven as the dove, the Holy Spirit in the form of the dove, came and landed on Jesus. God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." You know, just as wisdom was the delight of God, Jesus was the delight of God the Father. God was greatly pleased with him. But humanity was the delight of wisdom. And this is of such great encouragement, as we heard in the children's message. Listen then, in light of all that we've talked about, listen to John 3:16, this famous verse that we all know so well. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life," or everlasting life. He gave his only begotten Son because he so loved the world. He so loved you. God loved the Son, but he also loved you, and he loved you so much that he was willing to give his only Son to die on the cross for you. He made him who knew no sin to be sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God loves you. And he gave his Son that was not a created being, but God himself, the eternally existent Son of God that he had been in fellowship with forever. He gave him to die for you out of his great love. Let us pray. Lord God, as we think about this difficult text and all the controversy that's gone on over this, and we see that there's been so much confusion about whether wisdom was created, and yet we see from the rest of your word, and even when we look closely at this text, that's not what you're saying, that Jesus was not a created being, but he is God himself, the Son of God, eternally existent. And that we can have hope then that what happened in your great show of love for us in giving your Son to die on the cross for our sins, that actually paid for our sins. This wasn't just some other creature that died. This was God himself, the God-man, the Son of God, who died for our sins. Lord, we trust in your word. Help us to not mess with it, but to carefully study it, to hear it, that we might receive this great blessing and not some counterfeit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.